blessing. Amen. Good song. What are those old songs? What a blessing. So good. So good. Amen. Well, here in Ephesians 2, this is a great, great passage. I'll tell you what a blessing it is. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace, through faith. That's how you're saved. No other way. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we would, wouldn't we? We would boast. I guarantee there are some folks think they're going to be in heaven, but they're wanting to go there because they think they've done something. He did it. Amen. He did it all when he died on the cross. We can't do anything. And not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Thank God we are his workmanship. But I call your attention to verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. The title of the message this morning, Without Christ. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today. And thank you for the good music. Thank you for just the message and song. But now we look at your word, and we need your word. Please guide us, direct us. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. While my wife and I were gone, we always have a lot of fun, and we always have a lot of funny things that happen, especially as we get older. We just things we're not used to, and you all can identify with those kinds of things. But my wife had forgotten her moose. You know, stuff you which I don't need. Obviously, it's not a stuff to shine. But anyway, she didn't have that, and so I said something about we'd go to the store, and she mentioned a couple other things and that she needed. So we're trying to remember. There's maybe two or three things, not a lot of things. Just, but you know how it is. I mean, anymore, you know how it is, right? And so we're kind of and so just out of the blue, we got in the car to go to Walmart, and I said, oh yeah, moose, and she said, where? But. That's not the worst thing that happened. We got in the store, and she said, I said, well, now we need to get that stuff. And she said, yeah. And we both just kind of looked at each other, like, what are we here to get? That was like 10 minutes after we had just talked about what it was. Now, I say all that because we forget things. And the older you get, the more you forget. But there's one thing I don't ever want to forget. 35 years ago, about this time of year, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. 35 years ago, you say, oh, here we go. We're going to hear this story. Yeah, you're going to hear it again because I don't ever want to forget it. 35 years ago, we went to a service in a Baptist church. We were just dating, and the preacher preached about the return of Jesus Christ. And that evening, God spoke to my heart, as he had many times. I'd told him no. I was not interested. But that time, when he spoke to my heart, I was under unbelievable conviction. And I knew that I was lost, and I knew that if Jesus came, I'd be left behind. That was on my mind. I've told this story many times. I love to tell it. I'm not going to get into the whole story. But my wife and I, when we were dating, we lived about 45 miles apart, and depending on speed of vehicle, that took a certain amount of time each time, and my record time was 20 minutes. We won't discuss that whole scenario, but that night, it took me an hour and a half to get home. It was very, very late, and I was thinking about the rapture. I was thinking about Jesus returning. I actually was terrified that he would return and leave me behind. By the way, if you're here today and you're not saved, you should be terrified. But God Almighty had convicted me so much. I that night, driving home that distance, it took me an hour and a half, and because I kept pulling off the side of the road and weeping, I was crying so hard, I was under so much conviction that I was going to go to hell. I was going to be left behind, and I did not want to be left behind. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to be with Jesus. And sure enough, when I got home, I ran into my bedroom. I laid down beside my bed and knelt there at my bed and called upon Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and save me. And that was 35 years ago. And I say that to say, in verse 12, it says, at that time. At that time. Everybody here has a that time when you were without Christ. And there was a time, and I think back to this, and we should think back to this. There was a time that I was without Christ. There was a time that you were without Christ, and perhaps in a crowd this size, someone is here, and you are at that time right now. You're without Christ. You've never been saved. Oh, you say, well, I've heard it. You've had the Bible open. You've had somebody show you the verses. You've maybe read a gospel tract or had a soul winner go through the plan of salvation. And yet today you still sit here in church and you're without Christ. And I often think, what if a semi driver had fallen asleep, crossed the line and hit me head on my way home that night? I would have gone into eternity unprepared, without Christ, and spent all eternity in hell. I was 17 years old, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. But before that, 1 second before I trusted Christ, I was without Christ. You ever think of it, Brother Hawkins? There was a time that you were without Christ. Brother Don, you ever think there was a time? Wow, I was without Christ. Brother Glenn, you ever think there was a time that you were without Christ? Brother Dale, think about that. There was a day. There was a period of time. And at any of those, any time during that, a tornado could have come. A fire could have happened in your house. You could have had a heart attack. We were without Christ. We were totally unprotected. We would have gone to hell for all eternity. Why? Because we were without Christ. Think about those two words, without Christ. All around us there are Christless religions. By the way, the battle today that we fight is for Christ. And to be able to use the name of Jesus, to be able to use the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Anointed One, which is what Christ means. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And today the battle is to be able to talk about Him, because the world is without Christ and they don't want us talking about Christ. We can talk about a little baby in a manger, that's okay. But don't talk about Jesus Christ. By the way, they can cuss and use His name. They can use His name in vain, that's okay. But don't try to pray in Jesus. You can pray, but don't talk about Jesus Christ. Why? Because so many religions today and cults and isms and everything else, they are Christless religions. I'm amazed how many people say they don't believe in Him, but they use His name as a swear word. Christ is the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. There are two groups in our world today, and that is those with Christ and those without Christ. Without Christ. Peter said of Jesus, "Thou art the Christ." Martha, at the death of Lazarus, before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, she said, "Thou art the Christ." What's she saying? She said, "You're the Messiah. You are the one that is going to save people from their sins." But imagine without Christ. Paula, we were just thinking about our last trip to Mackinac Island. And as we pulled in that part, the church parking lot, and there you were looking for a church. And at that time, you were without Christ. That's hard to imagine. Wow, I actually lived without Christ for a while. I'm going to show you this passage of Scripture, what it means to be without Christ. Because here's the thing. Most of us here are with Christ. Most of us here in this auditorium today have trusted Christ. They're saved. You're going to heaven. You have Jesus in your heart today. But you know somebody who's without Christ. You know someone. You work with someone. You have a loved one. You have a neighbor. You have somebody that is an acquaintance of yours. Maybe a family friend. You've known them for many, many years. They're without Christ. To be without Christ, number one, is to be without God. Without God. Verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Watch what it says. And without God in the world. Oh, no, you don't understand. I've got my little statue out in the yard. I have my little idol thing up on my mantle at home. I have my little God. No, you're without God. You may have small g gods in your life, and many do, but you're without capital G God in your life if you're without Christ. Now, you don't understand, I'm religious. No, if you're without Christ, you are without God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. In Him, Colossians says, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You say, I don't want anything to do with Christ. I just want to worship God. It's not possible. Because if you're without Christ, you're without God. You say, that's narrow-minded. I didn't write it. The one who could wrote it. By the way, the Bible says it is narrow. It is a narrow way. The world wants us to believe that there's all these paths to God. There's just one. Christ. To be without Christ is to be without God. You say, you mean to tell me all these religions are wrong? I don't know what all these religions say. I'm telling you this, there is one way that is right, and that is Christ. There is no other way that is right. It is Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word is God, and the Word is made flesh. That's Jesus, that's Christ, and to be without Him is to be without God. To reject Him is to reject God. To say no to Him is to say no to God. And you say today, I don't need Christ today. I'm just going to worship God my own way. My friend, you are not worshiping God. And neither are those that you know. Again, it's not something for us to brag about. It's not something for us to say we're smarter than you. It's not something for us to say we're better than you. That's why it starts off with, for by grace are you saved. It has nothing to do with anything I did. It has nothing to do with my brains. It has nothing to do with my abilities. It has everything to do with what He did when He died on a cross to pay for my sin. And it's for by grace are you saved through faith. I'm just telling you this, without Christ, you are without God. You say, well, but I believe in God. And James 2:19 says, the devils believe and tremble. I don't get, you know, but my loved one says they're religious, or they belong to an organization that helps people. But to be without Christ is to be without God. And if you have your small g God, all you have is religion. With Christ, you have God. You have God. You can't worship God because you've denied Him when you deny Christ. You can't pray to God if you deny Christ. Are you listening? Somebody says, well, you Baptist, you just got to say in Jesus' name, right? Yeah, everything is in His name. It's not a magic formula. It's not magic words that we tack on the end that gets us, you know, some kind of a abracadabra kind of a thing. It's, hey, it's all about Him. And without Him, there is no, who am I talking to without Christ? Who are you talking to without Christ? Huh? It's not God. Because without Christ, you're without God. You may pray to a small g God. But if you deny Christ, you don't have God. Not the God of the Bible. Number one, to be without Christ is to be without God. Number two, to be without Christ is to be without life. It's to be without life itself. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am life. You say, I don't want anything to do with Christ. Then you want nothing to do with life. That's just clear. Without eternal life is eternal death. And death, don't misunderstand, death, the word death is separation. We always think of death as the separation of the soul from the body and that. Listen to me, separation, the worst separation in all the world is to be separated from God in hell. There is no worse death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And there is no hope of getting away from that death without Christ. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Ye were without Christ. Ye were dead. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened. What's that mean? Made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And I was dead without Christ. I was dead with Christ. Hallelujah. I am alive. And he came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. Hey, without Christ, there is no life. There is no life. Huh? I'm not talking about just heaven. I'm talking about abundant life. There is no life. Without Christ is to be without life. Now again, most of us here are saved. Some of you couldn't tell it by the look on your face. Honestly. You know, it's like, I don't understand that at all, but I'll tell you, you know, life. Now, maybe you're that lamb that you're off looking for a cliff to fall off of or something like that. I guess that is miserable. Thank God he does leave the 99 and go find that one. Amen. Amen. Or you're that sheep that's out there. Now you're surrounded. You know, you decided to break away because you're going to do your own thing, and now you're surrounded by the wolves. You know, and you're terrified. You know, maybe you decided to go out, and now you're stuck in quicksand, and you're going down for the last gasp. Yeah, I don't know what your situation, but I got news for you. With Jesus, there's life. And it's not just life, it's abundant life, it's wonderful life. He said, I've come that they might have it. Praise God for it. But without Christ, you're without life. You're without God, you're without life. Number three, you're without light. You're without light. Notice John 3. Go ahead and turn there. Keep your place in Ephesians. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 19. John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And you know how it is when we're doing evil things, we'd rather it be dark. When we're doing evil things, we don't want anyone to see the evil thing that we do. And so we sneak around, we find a quiet place or a private place, or we're in the dark somewhere because our deeds are evil. And then light shines, the Bible says, and it says, this is the condemnation. What? The light is the condemnation. The light shines on the evil deeds. And they're seen. By the way, that's why people don't like Christ. That's why the world is anti-Christ. Because our deeds are evil. That's why I didn't like it. We talked about this in Sunday school class. You know, when I was first approached with the gospel, I said, get away from me. You know why? Because the first part of it told me I was what? A sinner. Yeah, light was shining. It's like a flashlight. Hey, you're a sinner, buddy. Huh. How dare you? You know what, though? That light, once it shines on you, you know. Everybody in this room, come on, everybody. We're all sinners. The light shines. People say, hey, come on, tone it down, man. Today, you're going to offend people. You're going to get people upset. And that's what so many churches are today. It's you know, we don't want to offend. Don't talk about sin. Ugh. Why? I didn't write it. This is the condemnation. Let's go up a verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come. How does he know he's condemned? He knows when the light shines. Did you understand your soul winning? Well, wait a minute. He is condemned already, right? You know what your soul winning is? You know what you're handing out your gospel tract is? You know what the preaching is from the pulpit? You know what it is in junior church right now? You know what it is in our master clubs on Wednesday night? You know what it is when you go on your bus route? I'll tell you what the condemnation is. It's when you take the light of the Word of God and you shine it. And you say, you know what? You're a sinner. You're a sinner. There's really no way to make that pretty. You're a sinner. I mean, I could smile when I said, you're a sinner. I don't know any way to pretty that or pretty it up. You know, you're dirty. I don't know any way to make that nice. I love you, but you're dirty. Right? We were talking to somebody the other day. We won't mention Ben Potter's name. But he had crud all over his mouth. And because he was eating like he'd never eaten before. I'm not sure he had. And anyway, finally, you know, my wife and I are both looking at him. He's talking away, you know, and this crud's right here, hanging right here. And I say, hey, wipe your face off, buddy. It's dirty. You know, you say, that's rude. Well, I mean, I think he'd appreciate it for later on if he goes somewhere and it starts to turn green. Isn't that terrible? Can't believe I'd say that. Listen. The light shines on us and condemns us. And that's why we say, no! We don't like it. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I thank God that it shined on me and condemned me. I was already condemned. That's what it says. Verse 18, he's condemned already. Why? I believe not. But I'm so glad that I realized I was condemned. Wouldn't you want to realize you're condemned so you could do something about it? That's how your neighbor feels, my friend. That's how mom and dad feel. You're enjoying your Christianity. That's what, hey, they would like to have the same opportunity you had. Oh, no, they're not interested. Then let them go to hell. I'm telling you, they are condemned already. Give them the gospel. Tell them the truth. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You're without light if you're without Christ. That means your life is a life of darkness without Christ. Sin, stumbling. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Sin and stumbling and sorrow and a senseless life. Because in the darkness of a sin-filled life, come on, it is senseless, isn't it? I mean, why am I here? You can't answer that question, can you? You're lost. You don't know why you're here. Until you have Christ, there is no purpose. You watch people partying and certainly, you know, there on Mackinac Island, we were there and gave out a lot of tracts and everything. People are drinking, you know, doing their thing. And in every case, you're kind of watching folks and you think, I wonder if they have any clue as to why they're here. They think it's all about eat, drink, and be merry and just have fun? Do they think that's all there is? Because honestly, I would have a hard time working a job just for that if there's nothing bigger than that. But see, light, without light, you can't make sense of a simple thing like, why am I here? Without Christ, you're without God. Without Christ, you're without life. Without Christ, you're without light. Number four, without Christ, you're without salvation. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whereby we must be saved. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Understand that. There is no salvation. Again, we've talked about works. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot be saved by our works. We've talked about what an insult that is to God. He sent His Son to die on the cross. We somehow think we can work our way to heaven. He paid the price with His Son's death on the cross. We're going to work our way? We're going to do something good? We're going to, according to Isaiah, our works, our righteousnesses, our good works that we do, our helping little old ladies across the street, our working at the soup kitchen, our good works of writing letters to shut-ins, and all the good works we're doing. Hey, God says those things without Christ are as filthy rags. The rags are the rags used to wrap up a leprosy that is broken open at the skin and the pus is oozing out. And those rags would wrap that and that pus and blood would cake into that rag. And that is called a filthy rag. God says, your good works without Christ are that. And we dare wave those rags and say, God, let me into heaven. When Jesus Christ was beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails till His guts were literally ripped out of His body. And He's hung on a cross. And we're going to wave our filthy rags and say, hey, here's my ticket. Not hardly. Now see, without Christ, there is no salvation. Yeah, but I keep the Ten Commandments. You don't even know the Ten Commandments. Average person in this room could not name the Ten Commandments right now. I'm talking about good Christian people. You ever had a guy tell you, you know, you're out soul winning, so I keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, really? How about that fourth one? Brush me up on them a little bit here. I got news for you. There's more than 10. There's a whole lot more than 10. There's all the thou shalt's and there's all the thou shalt not's. And then there's all the suggestions. And then there's the verse that says, if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. See, I've never murdered anybody. Might as well have. I'm not telling you go do it now. Yeah, somebody say, well, Pastor Rogers said I might as well. I did this, so I might. No. I'm just saying, you know what? If our works could save us, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross, but He did die. And without Christ, you have to pay the price yourself for your sin. And the wages is death in hell. That's what we deserve, but He paid it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Are you thinking of somebody right now? I'm having a hard time this morning. All morning I've been thinking back to when I got saved and thinking back to that time that I was without Christ and thinking about how God saved me and kind of wondering where would I be if I hadn't got saved and would I have already died and gone to hell? But I've also thought about people all around us who are without Christ even today. Without Christ. Without Christ, you're without God. Without Christ, you're without life. Without Christ, you're without light. That's why, you know, we watch the world and we say, they don't have a clue. They have no light. We're watching the politics of our world today. And we say, don't they get it? I'm talking about a high school young person, a junior high young person who's a Christian, who has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them, who has opportunity to ask God for His wisdom, they're smarter than all these people because they have light and the others have no light. And without Christ, you're without salvation. Without salvation, you have to pay your own way. You say, okay, well, I'm willing. I'll just go down there to hell with all my buddies and drink beer. No, you won't. Number one, you won't have a buddy in hell. Because I guarantee you one thing. You look around and you think somebody's your friend. There's no friends in hell. Number two, you'll drink nothing. The rich man begged for one drop of water. The Bible says in hell, in torment, in flame. He begged for one drop. He's still begging. 2,000 years from now, he'll still be begging. He'll never get a drop of water. Don't think there's a party in hell. Without Christ is to be without salvation. Number five, without Christ is, and this is just unbelievable to me, it is to be without promise. No promises. Look at verse 12 again. He says, at that time you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. One of the great promises in Scripture: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Wow. That's the Lord. You know what? I read that at funeral after funeral after funeral. Probably every funeral I have ever done, I read Psalm 23. Somewhere along the line I read it. Either in the service or out at the cemetery or sometime I read that Psalm, Psalm 23. What a promise that is to us. The valley of the shadow of death. For the Christian, death is just, it's all it is, it's a shadow. Shadows never hurt you. I'm just saying. But you know, without Christ, you don't have that promise. And I watch people. Brother Hawkins, when I'm preaching a funeral, I watch people. And you can almost always tell who Psalm 23 comforts and who it doesn't. And those who are lost, there is no comfort to them because it's not a promise to them. John chapter 14 is another passage of Scripture that I read often. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I read that many times as someone is about to go to heaven. And then I will read it also during a funeral service or at the cemetery. Why? Because it's a promise. It's a promise that in my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And I watch, Brother Larry, and you've watched too, as those verses bring comfort and peace as the promise from God Almighty that there's a mansion there, that my loved one is there, and they're at their mansion, and they're having a great time on streets of gold, and they pass through the pearly gates, and they're rejoicing in heaven. And I've listened, and I've read it, and I've watched people in tears as they're rejoicing. But I've looked at those that are without Christ. And they don't have that promise. Because it's not a promise to them. And we've talked to people before and talked about, well, I know where your loved one is. They're in heaven. They trusted Christ. And they just say, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. You know why you don't get it? Because it's not your promise. Because this is it here. You think this is it, but I've got news for you. It's worse than just this being it. There's a hell. It's real. It's flames. It's eternal. I guess I'd be miserable too if there was no promise. To be without Christ, number six, is to be without peace. Verse 14, for He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. To be without Him, there is none. People say, how did you make it through that trial? I don't know. It's exactly what the Bible says. It's a peace that passes all understanding. He is our peace. Peace is not the absence of trial. It's peace in the midst of the trial. I understand there's a trial. I understand there's sorrow and heartache. And I understand I have sorrow and heartache. But as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, we have comfort. We have comfort. And we have peace. And we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. Why? God gives us peace. I'll be honest with you, folks. There's a lot going on in our world, and there's a lot of weird stuff going to happen. You say, how do you know? The Bible said so. Just because we're starting to see it. You know, you've read the book of the Revelation before, and you've heard preaching about it before, but you always thought it was going to be another day. Oh, scorpion people, and, you know, all these vials and all these things and wormwood and ooh, that's spooky stuff. And all of a sudden we start seeing weird stuff happen. All of a sudden we see computer chips being put in people and GPS locators being put in people. And all of a sudden we see all these marks and abilities to do these things. And it's like, wow, never saw that coming. Read your Bible. I never saw so many people hating Christians. Oh, read your Bible. But you know what? In the midst of all of it, there's peace. There is peace. You say, I don't have it. It's your own fault. But I can tell you this, to be without Christ is to be without peace. And then the last thing, number seven, not only to be without Christ is to be without God, to be without life, to be without light, to be without salvation, to be without promise, to be without peace. But I guess probably the toughest thing to me is to be without Christ, is to be without hope. That's what it says. Back to verse 12. At that time you were without Christ. That was me. When I was 16 years old. That was me when I first turned 17. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That's no hope. Why? Because Christ is our hope. Having no hope. He is the only hope. And folks are looking for nuclear disarmament. They're looking for peace in our world. It's not going to happen. They're looking for man to hold hands around the world and we'll all just get along with it. It's not going to happen, folks. Not till King Jesus sits on the throne. You know, when it's a cloudy day, well, we sang in Sunday school class, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. Yeah, He always does. Think about that. He always does, doesn't He? Yeah, honestly, you're sitting there and it's raining on your parade. Yesterday we were driving home from Mackinac City, and there was this big park, and there were cars everywhere. I mean, there was this huge amount of cars, and we looked, and this big pavilion, they're having this big picnic. And guess what? It was absolutely pouring down rain. And I'm thinking, those poor people, I mean, all the planning they did, because we plan things, and we do all these kinds of things, and you plan, and you work, and you prepare, and all of this, and I mean, it's pouring down rain on this huge picnic, maybe a family reunion, or I don't know, it was huge, just a bunch of people there, and pouring down rain, and of course, you know, we're driving through it, and for the person without Christ, it's just always that way. There is no hope. But you know, for the Christian, we know, no matter how hard it's raining on our parade, on our party, on our get-together, we know this, because it always happens. He rolls the clouds away. Always. You're sitting here today, and I mean, it's raining all over you, isn't it? Lightning, thunder, winds blowing. I mean, the storm is raging in your life, and you just cannot even believe how bad it is. But deep down, you always know. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, cancer. And you say, oh, wow. And you call the preacher, and you say, preacher, I have cancer. And you say, you know, preacher, I want to, maybe the preacher says, read James 5. And you read James 5, and you say, preacher, I want some men to come and gather and pray and anoint me with oil, and I want to ask God to heal me. And boy, the clouds are dark. And sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, God touches that spot, and that cancer's gone. And He rolls the clouds away. But you know, but deep down you know, it's all going to roll away anyway. Because if it doesn't roll away from me here on this earth, I know where I'm going. And He's going to roll the clouds away. He's going to put you in a place where there are no clouds, where the sun's always shining, because He is the sun. He is the light. But you know, the lost person doesn't have that. We see crime all around us, but we know He's going to roll the clouds away. We'll someday be where there is no crime. We see immorality all around us, people living like pigs. Amen. Unbelievable. But we have hope. There's always hope. Oh, the economy! He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've been asking Him, God, I could use one of those bricks from a street. Just a little obscure street there in heaven. Just pull up one of those bricks, send it on down. Amen? You ever pray, God, sell the cow? I don't know about how many cows are on 1,000 hills. I'm not sure how big the hills are. I can tell you this, I've seen a lot of cows on a hill before. Amen? But we have that hope. Lord, today would You please sell one of the cows, milk it and sell the milk, and pay this bill, God? And then we go out to our mailbox and we look. Isn't that good? It's always hope. Amen? For the Christian. But for the lost person, your neighbor, your loved one, you say they're your loved one, your co-worker, to be without Christ is to be without hope. My future's bright. So's yours if you're saved. For the lost, it's not bright at all. It's pretty bleak. You know why? There's no hope. No hope. You say, well, what if the United States gets taken over by communists or something like that? Well, yeah, I guess if it does, I've got, don't know how many more years I have here, but I know I'm going to go someplace where it's going to be ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because there's always hope. I close with verse 13. It says this, But now, amen. There was then, I was without Christ, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, thank you, choir, for singing that song for my message today. You didn't know it, neither did I. That's amazing. But now, because of the blood of Christ, but now, I have hope. Hey, Christian, smile. You have hope. It's not over. It's just started. And when you get to heaven, it'll just start. And 20,000 years later, it'll just be starting. And 100,000 years later, it'll just be starting. It'll just be whatever we're going to do in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful place. I don't think you'll be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. I think it's going to be a whole lot better than that. But now, thank God, 35 years. I've had Him as my Savior. 35 years. He's been my Father. He's been my Savior. He's been my Lord. He is my hope, my peace, my comfort. 35 years. You sit here today, rejoice. If you're with Christ, if you're not, come to Jesus. Don't be without Christ another day. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, nobody's talking. In just a minute, we'll have the invitation. I wonder how many here would say, Preacher, I have Jesus as my Savior. I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand if that's your testimony today? I'm the only one looking. Nobody else is looking. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can put them down. I'm not going to point anybody out. I promise you that. But I wonder if you'd just be honest today. Say, Preacher, I'm without Christ. I've never been saved. I've not asked Jesus into my heart. I've not asked Him to forgive me. I'm not saved today. If I died right now, I really don't know whether I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. Just slip up your hand. I'm not sure. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, get saved today. Please get saved today. Someone else should say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I am not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, I'm saved. I'm already a Christian, but God spoke into my heart about something today. Pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. Pray for me. Thank you. Father, save these who are not saved and help each of us to make the decision you have told us to make. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 270, 270 in your hymnals. Just as I am. God speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate.